Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going.
Five lights on ahead of the drivers. It's lights out and away we go. They weren't held for long. And Verstappen does get away well. Alongside him is Daniel Ricciardo. And Ricciardo is inching into the lead. Daniel Ricciardo will have the inside line here ahead of Max Verstappen. Into the first chicane once again. It's wheel to wheel. Hamilton and Verstappen. Oh. And this time Verstappen and Hamilton have crashed out. And they are both out. As Hamilton came from his pit stop, rejoined the racetrack. Lando Norris was ahead. And in their desperation to stay ahead and to get ahead, the two championship protagonists have taken each other out of the Italian Grand Prix. He left Red Bull, he went to Renault, he's gone to McLaren, he's going to get the victory now. It's McLaren and Ricciardo that win the Italian Grand Prix. Lando Norris comes home to make it a 1-2 for the men from Woking. Sergio Perez comes home to take third on the road, but he drops down to fifth because of that 5-second time penalty. Bottas on the podium for an eighth time.
This is the Outlap F1 podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 40 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is our Italian Grand Prix race review. We have our podcast at full strength tonight. I am your host, James, along with my wonderful co-hosts, John, Deanna, and Andy. Everybody here tonight, well, three of the four of us are not so much enjoying the Bears game, but Deanna, how are you doing tonight?
Fantastic.
That's good.
I had a great day, and not a bit involved football, so good luck to you guys. Although the Panthers won, so maybe I'll care if they... It's like a three. They get like three games, and if they're good, then I'll start caring.
I mean,
and if they not, then I
spoken like a true fair weather fan.
Yeah, you got to really put good in question marks there. I mean, they played the Jets and didn't.
Yeah,
really
that's
look
why
good.
It's like the three. Yeah,
all right,
and then I'll decide if I want to care or not. So
very good. Well, I'm going to go to Andy last because I got a feeling I know how he's feeling today. But John, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Had my neighbor over again. I warned him pre-race that if we only got two laps behind the safety car again, that I was revoking his F1 fan card permanently. So he was fair warned. But thankfully, we got a really good show. I was worried after the sprint, which we'll get into. I was a little bit worried about the actual race and what the quality of it was going to be. But you know, it didn't quite turn out exactly how it was been for. But the ending was pretty damn entertaining itself. So as you can see by the hat I'm wearing tonight, so good day overall.
And Andy, how was your day going, sir?
He's been waiting 9 years for this, so let me turn down my headphones real fast.
If the building that I live in didn't know what I do on Sunday mornings, they know now. I'm fairly certain I woke them all up. I actually had to like drink some like honey tea to try to get ready for tonight because I think I sort of popped my vocal cords earlier this morning. Oh man, what unbelievable result. Off the wall.
Good stuff. This is what being a fan of any sport is. The days you dream of are days like today. So very happy for you, Andy. And we'll get into all that. But first, I got to mention you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can always check out our link tree on our Twitter profile. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can visit our wonderful website at www.outlapf1.com. Where you'll find episodes such as the F1 for Beginners episode on Season 3, Episode 6. There you'll find everything you need to know about Formula 1 to feel like you've been a fan forever and you understand just about everything you you need to understand to enjoy the race as much as we do. You can also check out our About Us page and find other episodes like our Saber Cook interviews from Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. You can also check out Relap with Deanna, which is quite excellent, I must say so myself. And now that she's got a working computer again, the content will be coming out quickly, I'm sure. Right now, I think you can see both the race reaction for the sprint and the full Italian Grand Prix. So, Deanna, I watched, I don't think I saw your sprint one yet, but your race reaction was as good as always. So, keep that going. And Andy, Outlap F1 Nation, how's that going?
It's continuing to get bigger every day. Yeah, if you want to support the show, like I said, we're saving up for that banner in Zandvoort on turn three. That's what we're actually trying to go for. You know, it's screw Aramco. We're going to put Outlap F1 Nation and everybody who donates on there. But yeah, please do check out, you know, anything you want to do. It's all good. It all goes to make the show better. And we're aiming to do that. So thank you all very, very much.
Hey, we've been on the Jumbotron twice now. So
that's true.
You know, but yeah, the full banner, that's the end game. That's, and it's called a Jumbotron, Deanna.
I'm not gonna let this one go. It's a big screen.
What's that big TV over there? What?
Gets the point across. And of course, we're still linked up with Manscaped, so you can check out all their great products and use code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. All right, so let's get into it. We're going to start off, as we always do, with headline of the day. And for that, I'll give it to you, John, first. What do you got for me?
For me, today was the real Orange Army finally showed up. It's been a long time, but Papaya is back, at least for this week. Andy, you caught it. You know, if there was ever a race this year that it was probably going to happen, this was it. And, boy, were you right. So,
yep, could not have been more right, I don't think. Deanna, what do you got?
McLaren 1-2, back again. It's been a lot of years, and that was the greatest thing to happen today, and that's the most important thing that happened today, and that's all I'm going to focus on and care about. Yes.
So the last time this
happened...
I feel
like we need to read between the lines there. I don't... It's a cryptic
no,
message.
Nothing implied at all.
Deanna, anyway. The last time McLaren had a 1-2, could you legally drive at that point?
No.
So it's been a while. Andy, what do you got for your headline of the day?
They didn't miss today. I said this was going to be their best shot to get a result, and oh my God, wow. Unreal job, only not to get a win, but a freaking 1-2, which I was over the moon about. Oh, and oh yeah, a Max and Lewis thing happened today too, so we'll get into all that in just a minute.
Yeah, we'll save that for the back marker section here in a few minutes. my headline of the day, simply the power of the papaya. You know, it sucks for me as a Ferrari fan that, like, I really like McLaren. Been a fan, a bigger fan as the podcast has gone on. So it's always, I'm happy to see what they've accomplished today. Just sucks a little bit that put Ferrari in a little bit of a hole here in the race for third place in the constructors. But I'm super happy for McLaren, especially Danny Ricciardo. To announce his presence back on the F1 grid was pretty special to see. But yeah, so that's it for headlines of the day. We're going to go ahead and move into the qualifying recap. And for that, I'll give it back to Andy.
So as this was a sprint weekend, this is the traditional qualifying that happened on Friday evening or afternoon or late morning, as it turned out for me. So going out in Q1 in P20 was Nikita Mazepin. P19 was Robert Kubica, again filling in for the still COVID-positive Kimi Räikkönen. P18 was Mick Schumacher. P17, Yuki Tsunoda. And in P16 was Nicholas Latifi. Advancing to Q2, but going no farther, in P15 was George Russell. P14, Esteban Ocon. P13, Fernando Alonso. P12, Lance Stroll. And in P11 was Sebastian Vettel. The top 10 from 10 to 1 in P10, Antonio Giovinazzi. Back-to-back Q3 appearances for him, so well done. P9, Sergio Perez. P8, Charles Leclerc. P7, Carlos Sainz. P6, Pierre Gasly. P5 was Daniel Ricciardo. P4, Lando Norris. P3, Max Verstappen. P2, Lewis Hamilton. And in P1, with a lap time of 119.555, Valtteri Bottas.
Very nice. John, F1 sprint results. I'm going to give that to you so Andy can catch his breath here for a second.
So we will go P1 to P20 here. So P1, Valtteri Bottas, obviously, he would be assessed his fourth engine penalty, so he'd be starting today from the back. P2, Verstappen. P3, Ricciardo. P4, Norris. P5, Lewis Hamilton. P6, Charles Leclerc. P7, Carlos Sainz. P8, Giovinazzi. So a lot of Ferraris right there in a row. P9, Perez. P10, Stroll. P11, Alonso. P12, Vettel. P13, Ocon. P14, Latifi. P15, Russell. P16, Tsunoda, who started from the pit lane, or will be starting from the pit lane if he had actually raced. P17, Mazepin. P18, Kubica. P19, Schumacher, and P20 would be Gasly after his early incident.
All right. So thank you, John. So just a few quick thoughts on the sprint overall. Pretty boring. Not much going on, I'd say, overall. Had me concerned about what the race was going to look like today. But anybody got any comments about the sprint race from today?
I mean, it's set up today. Had Hamilton not had that start, I mean, granted, I guess you could make the argument that it would have happened today, but had he not started from fifth on the grid or fourth on the grid, I don't think we would have seen what we saw today, or would have been a very different fight between Lewis and Max. So somewhat interesting in that regard, I guess. It does make me less convinced on the sprint race format, and maybe this wasn't the right track to do it at.
And that was going to be my question.
Which is weird, because, like, I was just like, going into to the season, I thought Monza would be like the one to do it at, you know, with the toe and everything. But yeah, I think it just wasn't long enough, maybe. And that safety car at the very beginning didn't help, because, you know, what little tire differential we had that kind of wiped that out the door. So, you know, it's possible there at the end, we may have had a little bit of shuffling as the guys in the soft started to fall off. But yeah, I mean, we just ran out of laps with the safety car there. So it's unfortunate, but I'm definitely not giving up on it yet. But yeah, it definitely was not the most exciting race by any stretch.
Well, I mean, I thought it was actually interesting, because I thought more happened in this sprint than happened in the first one. But it didn't feel like it did. Like, you had the bad start from Hamilton. He actually lost positions. You had the Gasly wreck. It was just kind of after that safety car and all kind of the craziness on lap one, lap two, you really didn't have a whole lot happen really after it. So that's what Monza can sometimes be. I was very, very buoyed by the fact we had kind of some you know, fun in the race today, because I was worried that that's what sometimes Monza can be. Sometimes it's an hour and 15 minutes and it's basically everybody in a DRS train and nothing really happens. Luckily we got bailed out by the race today. Yeah, maybe not the best place to have the sprint, but I think one of the big key elements was missing, and that would have been if Ferrari was up at the top and the Tifosi were all there. I think the atmosphere would have been different. It would have felt different too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys saw the comments from Alonso about the sprint race. He suggested that if we're going to continue with sprint races, instead of doing a traditional qualifying format on that Friday with, you know, Q1, 2, 3, that we do a one lap, like old school. Every driver gets one lap on that Friday. He said that even he personally probably would have started much farther from the back, as he made it, you know, clear, likely would have made a mistake, or did make a mistake, at least on one of his hot laps, locked up some tires. So, you know, if he say give him one lap and that's the lap, that's the race they start that's the tire they start the race on. You know, you see guys pushing, you see guys doing lockups, and he thinks that would shuffle the order up slightly from where, you know, the traditional, you know, Q1 through 3 setup would give us, at least for these sprint races. Any thoughts on that?
I tend to agree with that one. I think that's a fairly decent idea. I think something else needs another element like that, I think, to make it a little bit different or somehow incorporate strategy. I think right now with A, it's just the top three getting points. So there's not a lot of incentive down the grid for them to push or make any sort of risk at all. So it is people just like, okay, I mean, I was going to start here anyway. If I can make an overtake, I'll make it. But if not, then what's the point? So maybe if you do the one-shot qualifying and you kind of get that bit of a mixed-up grid, that will lead to some more people pushing or some more people overtaking for places being out of position, where we can kind of start to see that through that race. Because I think people were just kind of about where they were going to be to begin with. And then there was really no incentive to do much more than that.
Yeah, the points thing, I think for sure. I think we said it after the first one. I still think they should do like a 10, 9, 8, you know, at least 1 through 10 to give those guys in the midfield an actual incentive to fight. And like you're saying, to not just be like, oh, yeah, you know, P5 sounds good for tomorrow. I'm good. You know, so.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about the points to make some more incentive for the mid-pack. And I actually hadn't heard that from Alonso yet, but that on its face seems like it could be a fairly good idea to give some other kind of element, like Deanna was saying, because it seems like after the first one in Silverstone this sort of weekend, we are all on board, loving it. After the second one now, I think we're all still for it. It's just not as great as what it once was when we first kind of saw it happen.
Yeah.
So maybe just a tweak here or there. But this this is why I was glad, and I think all of us can agree, that when they decided, hey, we're just going to try this a few times this year and see what we have, instead of just jumping right into it, because this is our chance to make some tweaks and make it better. So hopefully when John gets his weekly F1 survey, he can put those comments in and we can affect some actual change out there. And then thank John for it later.
You know I will.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and move into Sunday. Just a few talking points from the race today that we can get into, I think. So we'll start with the backmarkers, as we always do. Tsunoda didn't even start the race. Gasly, not much to talk about in his day after the crash and sprint, kind of led to his engine change, and then the car never seemed to be right again on Sunday. Giovinazzi started the weekend off pretty great and then kind of fell off in the race. Robert Kubica was there again, so that was a thing, finished the race. Then Schumacher and Mazepin had some more, a little bit of a tussle that kind of got overshadowed by the big tussle that we're going to talk about now. So I've been thinking about who I was going to give it to first. And early on, I decided I wasn't going to let John talk on it first, because I'm sure when we get to him, it's going to be very long-winded. So I was like, I'm going to go to the most level-headed person I know, and I'm going to let Andy talk on the incident first.
I thought he was going to say himself for a second.
That, level-headed, that's it.
Yeah, that would not be me. All right, so Andy, kind of set it up for us, walk us through it. What'd you see? What'd you feel? And then we can get into the meat.
So, okay. So the who, what, when, where, and why of it is basically laps 24 through 26. So we're coming to the end of our first stints. You've got Ricciardo leading Verstappen, and you've got Lando leading Lewis. Really top four, very close together with each other. Lap 24, Ricciardo pits, Max stays out. Lap 25, Max then comes in to cover off Daniel. However, we ended up with a Red Bull, kind of a freakish thing, 11.4 second pit stop due to, I guess, their right rear mechanic not pushing the button. Remember, now we're doing all these manually again, because that rule actually did go into effect. So he didn't hit the button, so Max never got a green light, so he was held for 11 seconds. So he comes out. Max is now falling down the order. Meanwhile, Lewis has gotten past Norris and has taken the lead. Now, Lewis is on the hard tires, so he could potentially go long. But with now Verstappen falling down the order, Mercedes thought, well, now is a good time to cover, get the pit stop out of the way, consolidate track position. Lewis's pit stop ends up going 4.2 seconds, which is not exactly fast. He comes out of the pits right behind Norris. And now you end up in a situation with Lewis and Max going into that first chicane, basically neck and neck. Lewis on brand new set of, I think, medium tires. Max on a brand new set of hard tires. So it's kind of a classic, you know, inside-outside move. Max is on the outside of the chicane. He's basically near the border of where it's kind of going to be okay or not. He hits a sausage curb. His then rear tire rails up and rounds up onto Lewis's car, and Max ends up basically on top of Lewis. Both guys out. Halo, thank God it's there, because that could have been a lot scarier. But, championship protagonists, as we put in our little highlight package earlier in the show, take each other out, and yikes.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. Big moment there, Deanna. What did you see from your seat there in the hallway?
Yeah, my initial thoughts were racing incident, but really hasn't changed. I think it has a lot of parallels to Silverstone, just with the drivers reversed. I think Hamilton probably could have given more space, and Verstappen could have backed out earlier. But neither went to give any sort of leeway when they're battling for a title, so we ended up with what we got. And I mean, I guess if you're going to put up blame, I could see the reasoning why it's predominantly Max, but I lead more racing incident, but same thing with Silverstone though.
Yeah, that word predominantly is a big one today. All right, John, here's your shot. Tell us why Max is wrong and Lewis is right.
I mean, well, first off, we sent out a Twitter poll, and so thank you to, we had a lot of votes that came in. So 51% said racing incident, 18% said Lewis, and 31% said Max. So it was interesting to get everybody's takes after we saw a plethora of replays on the incident. But I mean, my first initial gut, you know, when I saw it live, I was like 100%, this is Max, being Max. And I still will put like a maybe slightly more blame on Max than Lewis, because I know my buddy that was watching the race with me, he's learned in his short time watching F1, he's already learned how Max drives when he's pissed off. And he actually called it as they were coming out of the pits. He said, "Lewis, watch out. Max is going to dive it in there." And sure enough, you knew that coming off 11 second pit stop, Max was going to be, I mean, you could tell on the radio, who's livid. You knew he was going to be driving like a madman. And so I think both drivers could have given more. I think the big kicker as to why the penalty was given, and I'll be honest with you, yeah, like I'm actually quite surprised that a penalty was given for this, to be perfectly honest with you. Silverstone, you know, I said I thought it was a racing incident. I thought today was still a racing incident. I think the reason that Max is a penalty is because we had a whole lot of examples throughout the weekend of similar situations going into that turn one. And we've had them for years. And every time we have a situation like that, 99% of the time, the driver getting pinched takes the easy way out. Well, easy, quote unquote, and goes over the curbs and rejoins. This was the one time that a driver did not, and we saw the results of it. So I think that probably played into something, you know, turn what four on lap one, we had the same situation but reverse, and Lewis backed out, went over the curbs, and I'm sure that was 100% a part of the argument there. But I personally would put this down as a racing incident. I am a little surprised. I'm thankful as a Lewis fan, as a Hamilton fan, that Max is getting a little bit of a penalty, but as an F1 fan, yeah, I tend to put this as a racing incident.
So I agree with that. I'm all in on the racing incident for sure. I was also surprised by the penalty and the points as well. But speaking to the penalty itself now, Deanna, something you tweeted about as well. So this should be, he gets a three place grid drop penalty moving into one of our favorite tracks, Russia. So now clearly Red Bull's got to bring in the new power unit next week, or I'm sorry, in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I would think probably, especially with the damage from the wreck, that we're going to see Hamilton and Verstappen, because they both need to take it. They're going to do it. So Verstappen gets around that three-place grid penalty. Also, I saw some weird comments and stuff. That three-place grid penalty is pretty much equivalent to a 10-second in-race penalty that Lewis got, and they both got two penalty points. So I think this is kind of weirdly netted out-ish. although Hamilton, I guess, got to keep going. But anyway. But yeah, so I think this three-place grid drop, they'll just take the engine so they don't have to worry about it. I think Lewis will also start from the back, which might actually make Russia be interesting, and we might see Lewis versus Max while driving through the field. And if that's the case, I'm actually slightly excited for a Russian victory, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah, and when you make, because I already saw the point of, you know, they're going to take the power unit and take that penalty and just get it all in one. And then you made that point of Lewis doing the same thing. And then it's like, oh, shit, like that could actually be really cool to see the one and two driver in the standings starting in the back of the pack and then having a battle all the way through. So that could get pretty spicy pretty quickly, even on a mundane track such as. Go ahead.
And we are perfectly teed up for Bottas's annual win.
That's true.
Because yeah. He has his new engine It's probably going to be a Mercedes truck, I would think, especially if it's just kind of him and Perez out front. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a, like, international holiday.
As Bottas has a swan song.
I was thinking that if Lewis doesn't get if Lewis doesn't get damage, I'm assuming he's probably going to need a new turbo and, you know, who knows what else is sitting on top of that engine. So if he doesn't get damaged, then I kind of wondered, okay, would Lewis take the gamble and keep the same motor in Russia and try to maximize points to try to regain the championship? But yeah, I mean, if there's any damage at all there, then yeah, I think it's a slam dunk. You got to both take it. So, we kind of talked about pre-race, but I want to get your guys' thoughts. Damon Hill pretty much point blank asking Christian Horner if this was intentional. We've seen it obviously multiple times in the past in prior eras of Formula One, where a championship leader has taken out a second place guy to, maintain a championship lead. Point blank asked him, and, Christian Horner walked back real quick and said it was a racing incident. Prior to that, he was saying that he thought it was Lewis. And then when Damon Hill kind of attacked him, he went to the racing incident. Any thoughts on that?
I'm of the camp that this was a racing incident. I don't think, even if Max is seeing and breathing fire and everything else, I don't think he's going to try to put himself into a position where he's going to take both of them out. If that is, then that's really poor execution and that's really bad on Max, because it did not work at all. It's two guys going for a gap. Like, I was surprised, like you, John, that they came out with a penalty. I was not expecting it. Again, I have no idea what these stewards or anytime anything goes to the FIA, I'm done trying to figure it out, because I looked at it and I said, oh, well, that's two guys going for a gap. Well, all right, fine. I thought the Silverstone thing was two guys going for a gap. So again, what the hell do I know?
And correct me if I'm wrong.
We also saw a carbon copy of the.
Go ahead.
I was just going to complain about the FIA really quickly and stewarding. We saw a carbon copy of Hamilton and Leclerc in 2019. And then Vettel and Ocon gets a penalty 2019. Leclerc doesn't. So it's literally the same exact thing, just 2 years apart. And there's zero consistency. So, you know, gotta love it.
Well, I would argue that is different because it's Charles.
My one complaint.
I would argue because that is different. It's Charles Leclerc. So it's like, it's fine. But as far as what John was saying, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know the whole history as well as some of you guys. But in the past, when we've seen this sort of thing that Damon Hill was alluding to, that's always been like the last race, right? Like when Schumacher did it and when I think Senna did it. Like that wasn't just like with multiple races to go when it was a close race. Wasn't it usually at the end of the season to clinch the championship?
The Senna one was to clinch a championship. He took out Prost in turn one in Japan, and that effectively ended the championship because it was like the last race. I've never seen it with still 8 races left in the calendar. No.
Yeah.
And that's what it would have to take for anything to be relatively deliberate. Because right now you're just trying to score as many points as humanly possible. Like on what planet would it make any sense to take, potentially put in that kind of risk? I don't think we'll see anybody do anything purposeful when we get to the end of the season, but that's the only way it ever makes sense to me.
And the one thing I'm grateful for in this situation, besides the halo, is the fact that both drivers ended up out. If you know, Max would have caused Lewis to crash out on something like this and then built up this huge lead, I wouldn't have liked that, because I want this battle to go all the way to the end. So the fact that both of them ended with 0 points, I can take a little bit of solace in that at least. And I, of course, it's easier to do since I think it's a racing incident. So I'm glad no one driver got a huge advantage because of this, what happened today. So I guess we can be happy with that. All right, so let's go ahead and move into the midfield here. John, anything to say about Mr. Sebastian Vettel's day? Our bet's looking pretty good in my favor. So I don't know if maybe in Austin we want to go to the liquor store together and we can start shopping or.
Yeah, we might have to get an early payment on that. I may need a payment plan at this point.
I have expensive taste.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm worried about. Yeah, no, I mean, even Vettel said, like, it was their day. The race was done on lap one. They made a good start, managed to avoid the bottleneck in the first game, but then he was pushed wide at turn six, lost a bunch of places. I felt like it was just kind of a pinball today, just kind of attracting all kinds of stupidity around him. And, I mean, going in, Aston Martin was very clear that they did not develop a Monza package for this year. you know, they felt like this is a one-off track, which it very much is, and it was not worth the amount of money to develop a one-off package for this race, knowing that they probably wouldn't be that successful anyways. So, yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't expect much. A P12, I mean, granted, we had a lot of carnage in there, but, you know, to be, you know, just shortly out of the points is probably not actually a bad day, considering that they had them and the Haas had the biggest wings on earth today.
Deanna, so for Williams, we almost saw another double points finish, like pretty close. Good day by Latifi, I thought, overall, but George Russell scoring points again. Like, what is going on with this guy?
Yeah, so I would actually say over the course of the day, I think Latifi on the whole did a better job. He was running he was up to 11th after the first lap. He even overtook Ocon in an Alpine and wasn't too far off Alonso through that first stint. He unfortunately pitted before the safety car, where George didn't. So he got to take advantage of that. So he leaped from around, I think, 14th pre all the pit stops and came back out in 9th. But he was able to hold on and held off Ocon at the end there. So overall, a solid, solid day for the Williams, and even more points. And now they've scored points in 3 out of the last 4 races, yeah, which is an
Aston
insane,
Martin, look out,
insane swing
to
four.
How crazy of a race does it have to be for George Russell to score points all on his own, like naturally, and it get virtually no attention whatsoever?
Yeah.
It took a lot of people a few hours to go down the list of the point scorers and go, hey, look at that. George scored again.
These times, they are a changing. Andy, so what? Anything stick out with you about the Alpine weekend with Alonso or Ocon?
Well, I had them pegged doing a lot better this weekend, so that really didn't happen. But, I mean, Alonso, I thought, took advantage of the sprint. I think he's probably the one guy I think that shines the most in that, because he's probably one of the best at hand-to-hand combat. So, I mean, up from 13th to, I think, like 10th or 11th or something. And then, you know, up to P8 today is probably as good as they were going to get, considering where they were starting from. So solid day, for both Alpines. Obviously, Alonso gets 8th and Ocon gets 10th in the single point.
Very good. As far as Ferrari went, Carlos Sainz, big shunt in FP2. So great job by the Ferrari mechanics again, rebuilding the car quickly. Feel like I've talked about that too many times this year. But if nothing else, they're getting a lot of really good experience getting that car put back together quickly. And for him to get some pretty good points in P6, I was happy with that. He did end up getting pit by Sergio Perez. But Charles Leclerc, I thought, had a really strong drive to finish in 4th. It's a shame to see that Ferrari be so slow in the straightaways, especially at Monza, where they should be one of the fastest ones there every year. But for him to do what he did, and I got really excited there for a moment after the safety car, because he lucked out really good with the pit stop under the safety car, coming out in 2nd. But then you really saw quickly how he just doesn't have the speed in that car, and was passed like within a lap. So I'm kind of disappointed. I got a little excited for a minute. Got a little ahead of myself. Big surprise there, I know. But overall, really strong day for Ferrari. Just a shame that, you know, the team they're chasing or they're battling with for 3rd just so happened to get a 1-2 for the first time in, you know, 9, 10 years, whatever it's been. So I'll take the day from Ferrari, and the battle will continue, Andy. So it ain't over yet, pal.
Oh, no. I mean, that's just it. I mean, as good as the McLaren day is, they're not clear of Ferrari by any stretch of the imagination. It is still a fight on. It's going to go on, I think, all the way to Abu Dhabi, just because you see the differences in the cars. I mean, they were great in Zandvoort. McLaren were nowhere in Zandvoort. So, I mean, you could see it turn that quickly. And I thought Leclerc was, I think, out driving the car, if anything, a little bit today. So I was nothing but complimentary to him. I thought the fact that Perez didn't give that position back is wrong. Just flat out wrong. And that, I'm glad it didn't totally screw Leclerc's result. But when you choose not to do that, yeah, you take the 5-second penalty. You shouldn't be able to do that. It should be an immediate consequence. Otherwise, you get like black flagged or something.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it was just, I don't know why Red Bull, after they did it in the sprint race and had to give the position back, literally the day before you did this, and you had to give it back. So why would you think that you could get away with it this time? And B, he would have been better off, probably, had he just given the place back to Leclerc and then caught him back up and re-overtaken probably quicker than he would have. Like, I feel like he still would have ended up ahead of Bottas had he done that without the five-second penalty. So it just made no sense. Absolutely no sense why they would ignore that, or like why Perez A wouldn't give back up and why the team wouldn't tell him to.
There was some kind of rumor floating around on Twitter, and I don't know if there was any validity. Validity. I can't say that word tonight, so I'm just going to forget him. That word, yeah. Yeah, that one. It was basically saying that supposedly they asked the FIA if they have to give it back and was told no. I did not hear any of this.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, it was getting a lot of traction on Twitter, so I was like, that still seems really sketch. People are all in arms about it. You know, the FIA, they changed their mind. You know, and I don't know. I don't think that actually happened. I'm not sure where that rumor got started at, but I have yet to see any evidence of that actually occurring. No. And considering, like you said, Deanna, that the exact same thing happened the day before, it seemed like a pretty slam dunk, give it back real fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's what I yelled at ITV. I said, he's got to give that stuff back. And he just didn't. So what do you think is going to happen?
And I think real fast, going back to Ferrari, considering that they have yet to bring in their final motor upgrades, to finish P4 and P6, I mean, that's pretty damn impressive considering where they've been, you know, since, well, I won't count 2019 for obvious reasons, but if you take away 2019 as the anomaly there, it's been a long time since they've been decent in Italy, so or Monza, I should say. So, yeah, I mean, a P4, the fastest track on the grid or on the calendar, and you haven't brought your new engine yet, so I mean, it certainly surprised me.
Yeah, I think that should be for Russia. The upgrades are supposed to come after Monza, so I'm hoping to see that. That's a good point, John. Really nice comment. And then, of course, you had to back it up with the 2019 summit.
Yeah, so. I don't want your head getting too big over there. Let's not forget 2019.
But with giving the place back too, like Charles had that same incident. Now I'm totally blanking on who it was that he was battling. I think I want to say it was
Bottas. Yeah, because he
gave the spot back, and then he had that. I mean, he got
the spot, toe
the place right back. Yeah, so he got the toe. Slipstream. So that was like
He pulled a Lewis in Spa 2007. Yeah. So
like I was like, that's like borderline sketchy, but I also kind of like it because it like makes it seem like Leclerc is really thinking about it and being like pretty smart there.
If it makes you feel any better, I think Lewis in 2007 was that penalty was bullshit, and I think had he had gotten one today, it would have also been bullshit. Yeah.
That was against Räikkönen.
Yeah.
I remember watching
that. Yeah, that was a big one for that season.
Not in 2007, but those were the ones I watched.
Yeah, that was a big one for that season. But yeah, I didn't agree with it. And I mean, I thought it was a chess match. And, I thought it was a solid move of when he gave it back. And he did it quickly. He didn't drag it on and do it right before, you know, a DRS. I mean, he just took advantage of the situation and knew the circumstances.
Yeah. Anything else? We kind of mentioned Checo there, but anything else on Checo, Andy, before we move into the podium place?
No, I mean, he just, for whatever reason, this weekend, just I think he was just in a foul mood. I mean, it just seemed like wherever he was, trouble tended to try to follow him. I mean, he had the same, like, exactly what we talked about. He had the same exact thing happen in the sprint, same exact thing happen in the race. You know, he's got to have a better qualifying session, whether it's the traditional qualifying or the sprint or whatever, he's got to be more up there if Red Bull want to challenge in the constructors. Because, yeah, the drivers is close, but Mercedes is pulling away in the constructors, and it's because Checo's not up there.
Yep. Yeah, for real. All right, so let's go ahead and take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the podium finishers.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 40, the big 4-0 of the OUTLAP F1 Podcast. This is the Italian Grand Prix Race Review, all four hosts in it, breaking it down for you. And right now, we are going to talk about the podium finishers. And for that, we'll go to the resident Mercedes fanboy, John, to talk about his boy, Valtteri Bottas, finishing in third place. What'd you think?
I'm glad you said Mercedes and not Bottas fanboy, because, you know, I've been number one in the camp to give his ass the boot.
you do love the ass, man.
For quite some time. Yeah, I mean, obviously, a ton of overtakes. I mean, to start from dead last and to work his way through the field, he had a really impressive drive and somewhat non-Bottas-like in that regard. But I thought, you know, pretty much the whole day leading up to it, I was telling my buddy that, you know, the reason Bottas is leaving is because he, you know, he won't ever ascend it when it really matters. He's afraid to take those big steps. And to really, really push it. And I thought I was going to have to eat my words because he was plugging his way all the way up through the field, coming up on everybody. And I was like, damn, he's got a legitimate chance of, I didn't think he'd win just based on the pace of the McLarens, but I thought he would definitely be pushing into that window. And then he just all of a sudden hit a wall, you know, and it just felt like, okay, Valtteri all over again. Had a couple of opportunities where I feel like maybe could have, you know, pushed the envelope a little bit, but didn't. And I'm sure if you ask Toto, you know, he'll say that was the end game, you know, especially once Perez got the penalty. It was like, all right, we know we can finish more, you know, we're going to get more points than Red Bull this weekend. I guess maybe not. Why not risk it? But prior to the penalty, I don't know. I just, it felt like there was more that could have been done off this track, but I will say, definitely an excellent, weekend coming off, you know, obviously he was very, very good throughout the weekend, qualifying, sprint, and with the new motor, looked very strong throughout the race. So Alfa Romeo should be in good hands, but I'm still not regretting our decision to tell him to peace out.
I too was absolutely shocked by Bottas's drive. Not something I'm used to seeing from him, starting from the back and making that many overtakes. And I mean, he was a straight up rocket ship on those straightaways.
His car was arguably faster than Lewis's, and one, I guess that could be motor. But Andy, I didn't think about this till just now, but with him taking the new motor and breaking Parc Fermé, I mean, could they have learned something in the sprint to make some additional aero changes?
I mean, they could have. I mean, you definitely saw the difference in the straight line between him and almost everybody else.
Right, yeah.
He was the one that I was the most fearful of. If he actually got around Perez and, you know, then now he's P3 legitimately on the road, and I'm going, okay, you know, maybe Lando holds him up, maybe he doesn't. I didn't know if Lando had enough, to be honest with you. And then I was worried about, you know, he could have maybe, he might not have gotten the win, but he would have probably definitely gotten P2. That was the most concerned I've been about Valtteri in a long, long time as a fan. But then he just kind of hit that wall, and it was just, you know, he had tire advantage, he had the fresh motor, and then he either used it all up getting there, or it just went away from him, probably a combination of the two. He did make the nice move on Perez, but Perez got him back on the slingshot, you know, into that second chicane there. I loved watching Toto's reaction to it because he was like, yes!
Oh. And then he started laughing about it. Like,
that's the guy I don't know if
he saw himself there on TV is. Or what, but he was like at that, the tail end, he's laughing. He's like, yeah, that's Valtteri for you.
Yep.
Couldn't make it stick when it needed.
That was second best reaction of the weekend behind Bottas seeing the incident behind him on the screen. That was great.
Well,
Deanna, Deanna, I couldn't tell if you have a point to make or if your finger is always stuck like that since you almost sliced it off.
Well, I just want to say, as much as I kind of like shit on Valtteri, I think overall he had one of the best weekends out of anybody this weekend. Mm-hmm. To put it on pole, was easily controlled the sprint race, and then to actually make a drive through the field, which is not something we ever see him do. Yes, he did get caught up by Perez at the end there. I think partially that is kind of probably overcooked the mediums and everybody else's on the hards at that point. But I think overall, impressive, like, showing for Bottas overall. One of his best weekends in a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely very much agree on that.
And although he didn't do it on track, he did, you know, again, further the championship lead by finishing within 5 seconds of Perez. So at least he did his job today, thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah, good weekend by Bottas. One of his last with Mercedes. All right, so let's go ahead and move into P2 and P1. And, of course, I'm going to hand this off to Andy. I'm going to kick back and just enjoy the next few minutes here. So take it away, my friend.
All right, so P2 was Lando Norris. He had himself a very decent start. Was not able to keep Hamilton behind. But he did get around Hamilton when he left the track on that lap one incident with Max there. Really nice defending in the first stint until the very end of that first stint when Lewis Hamilton did get past him for P1 right before Hamilton pitted. Actually lost out to Charles Leclerc on the safety car, but was able to overtake by actually getting his tire dirty and going into the grass a little bit and making the move stick. So really nice overtake there for P2. He did ask the team at one point if it was best to have that formation with Daniel in front, probably just trying to see, being a little cheeky there, trying to see maybe he could get a win. Team told him no. Obviously, that was the right call. So he was just super happy for the team. His reaction was nothing but jubilant and well done. Best result for him, P2. You can sense a win someday will come relatively soon, hopefully. And then P1, Daniel Ricciardo. Hello, where has this been? This is why they got him. 25 points, 1 point for the fastest lap, 1 point for the sprint. The first win for McLaren since Brazil 2012. That monkey is now off of our all respective backs. First 1-2 for McLaren since Canada in 2010. I actually remember that race. That's scary. Excellent start by Danny. Overtook Verstappen into turn one. That was basically his, you know, on track move of the race. Able to keep Verstappen behind in the first stint. For all the dogging I've given McLaren on their pit stops, not so today. Well executed 2.4 second pit stop, and that's with the new regulations. So really good there. Regained the lead when Leclerc and Perez pitted under that safety car. And once he and Lando were 1-2, they really were not necessarily all that challenged from that point on. And, oh, yeah, Danny decided to set the fastest lap on lap 53 with a 124.812. Unbelievable day. Wow.
Was that 2010? Well, was that a Lewis Button 1-2?
Yeah. Yep.
Very cool. Yep. I think the most impressive thing is that, you know, unlike when we've seen some other teams that have, you know, the Alpines, the AlphaTauris, things like that. When we've seen teams that have won that shouldn't have, they've won it through crazy circumstances. And yes, there was a little bit of that today, but Ricciardo was legitimately P1 based on his own merit prior to any of that happening. And Lando was right there as well. So I think that's the coolest thing is that they did it. Despite what happened between the championship leaders, this was their race from really turn one. So, and obviously they had clearly had more pace in it there at the end, you know, as both of them were saying purple sectors there on that last lap.
All of a sudden I'm watching the timing screen because that's the quickest thing. So I actually lost it about maybe 30 seconds before the race broadcast did because I was watching the timing. And I'm like, he went fucking purple. What the hell was that?
Andy, it's good to see you smile, buddy. It's been a long, long time.
Yes, it has. If you guys were here, I'd be having you rip the monkey off my back.
I'm just waiting for the shoe.
Steve Young. Oh, stand by.
I'm just glad that Danny Rick remembered to do one today because I don't remember where was the last podium that he had that he forgot until someone in Sky Sports asked him about it. And he was
I think it was Monaco.
And I was, yeah, so... I'm glad that he remembered. That was, I mean, how many times, you know, even my buddy said this today, like this is the dream when you can pour champagne into your shoe and then pour it down your boss's throat. Like that's got to be the dream, right? Of every employee on Earth. I mean, how many times could you say you've done that, and that your boss was like, "Give me more, Zach Brown, you're badass, dude."
That was a surprise for me, because going into the podium, I'm like, okay, Lando's definitely going to do a shoey too, and I was like, if Zach Brown's up there, he'll probably do one too. I did not anticipate that they'd be using Daniel Ricciardo's shoes for their own shoeys as well. Like that part surprised me a little bit, but that was awesome. I love that with his first shoe, he took it and then tossed his shoe out down. So that, I thought that was pretty
and
cool too. So
Valtteri did not do one, right? He looked quite disgusted the entire.
Yeah. That was another good Bottas reaction to still screen of him just looking like kind of disgusted at it.
Actually, if you watch really closely, Lando doesn't like actually drink any.
Yeah, he's got some cheeks full, and I don't blame him one bit. But yeah,
DNA, pretty amazing on McLaren's day.
I mean, it's just great to see Ricciardo back to where he should be. And where we all think he is. So that was just a great moment for McLaren, and just watching them make this comeback over the past couple of years, and this being the culmination of that, at least so far. We'll see, maybe next year they're actually fighting for titles. But that was awesome to get a 1-2, to be the only team with 1-2 this year. All really, really great stuff. And I had the best time watching it. And I sat in silence for the most part for the second half of the race. So I was just like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to jinx it. I'm just like sitting there.
I think you and I were doing the same thing. I'm literally sitting there. I'm doing the Christian Horner knee thing on my chair going, oh, God.
It made the second
this
half
is
of
fun,
my
fun, right?
Yeah. The second half of my video was very easy to edit, because it's just like, let me cut out this 30 minutes.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Actually,
good stuff.
Unbelievable was McLaren as a team only left 2 points on the table, and that was the pole position from the sprint. They got 25 points, fastest lap, and a point in the sprint. Unreal.
Impressive.
Yeah, good McLaren papaya weekend. All right, so that leads us into our recap of the driver's standings. John, what's our top 10?
So my OCD, again, hates this, but... First, we're going to have Verstappen at 226.5. Hamilton, 221.5. Bottas, 141. Norris, 132. Perez, 118. Leclerc, 104. Sainz, 97.5. Ricciardo, 86. Gasly, 9th at 66. And Alonso rounding out the top 10 with 50. So good day. Good all around.
Ricciardo, 83 or 86?
I don't know what I said. I think it's I probably said 86. It's 83. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sure. I mean, it's obviously Lewis lost a couple of points this weekend in the grand scheme of things, but still definitely a battle there. And Norris, right there on Bottas' heel. So.
Yep. Andy, the recap of the team standings.
So, in first place is Mercedes with 362.5. Second is Red Bull on 344.5. Third is now McLaren on 215. Fourth is Ferrari at 201.5. Fifth is Alpine on 95. Sixth, AlphaTauri with 84. Seven, Aston Martin with 59. Eighth, with Williams, 22. Nine is Alfa Romeo. And bringing up the rear is still Haas F1 with 0 points.
Speaking of Haas,
if you would have told me Williams would have 22 points 4 races ago, that is insane. Anyway.
This is the most bonkers F1 year I can remember in a long time. Ooh, it's crazy.
And speaking of
if
Haas,
you would have told me, damn it, John. If you would have told me at the beginning of this season that if you combined 2021 and 2022, Williams would have 22 points, I would have told you were a damn liar. And now they have it, and there's still races to go in 2021. So this is crazy.
Very true. I was just going to say for the 10th time, the meme where someone posted out with the swimmer pouring water on his head while he's in the pool, and it was talking about Mazepin and his time penalty running dead last. Oh God. That's just Haas in a nutshell. I mean,
pretty much.
it's such a clown show over there.
Mazepin had a day today.
That's true.
He spun his teammate, had a massive lockup, ran into one of the like styrofoam things.
Did he lock up immediately coming out of the pits? Wasn't that?
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff that there's like, more that I don't even remember. Yeah. Got a penalty for, actually got a penalty this time for giving something to his teammate. So, oh man, good days at Haas.
Yeah, he Mazepin'd his way all over the track. So. Yes. Pretty good day.
Just embarrassing.
And then he blew his engine to boot.
I see now the kick. All right, let's go into fan emails, which once again, we've got quite a few. So thank you to everybody who emails in. Always appreciate seeing them all come in the inbox. And for that, Deanna, you are up.
Yes. Yeah, so Rachel Fleming says, what a result for McLaren and for F1. Danny Ric came good, which is great to see. Does this end the discussion if Danny Ric made the right choice to leave Renault? Also, why didn't Merck pit Lewis just after Max, even though he was on the harder tire? It makes no sense and was a minor factor on that incident. So starting with the Danny Ric bit, I'll let Andy take that one. Do you think it was the right decision to leave Renault?
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree with that. I thought it was at the time. I don't think anybody anticipated him having the struggles right out of the gate. But he has said that he's been different since, obviously, the summer break. Just hadn't seen it in the results. And then, bang, today happened. So, obviously, he knew something we all didn't, which is great. Yeah, I mean, he was never going to win a race with Renault. Obviously, we've seen them almost take steps backwards. So now they're going to have to kind of reevaluate. Maybe they come back in 22. We don't know. I mean, they did win a race with Ocon, but that was, you know, the crazy Hungary thing. So, yeah, I think he made the right decision. I'm happy to have him on board.
All right. And then I ignore the drag race going on in the background in my apartment. So Mercedes strategy. So they started. So with the sprint race, we get to get rid of the Q2 tire rule. So they had free choice of tires, which led to pretty much everybody being on the mediums except for Lewis on the hards. But he did only pit, I can tell you, two laps after Verstappen. So Verstappen was on the mediums, pitted on lap 23, Hamilton on the hards on lap 25. Do you think he should have tried to run longer if he could?
I think that if Max doesn't have the 11-second pit stop, then yes, I think they run the long game 100%, and which I think that was their plan all along, is just try to do an alternate strategy because they saw in the sprint that they were having trouble overtaking on track, and they knew that the McLarens were obviously fast as hell. So I think that was the strategy all along, is to outlast everyone in the pit stops, go long, and then see what happens. But Max having the pit stop that he had, I think dramatically changed the whole situation there. And honestly, if Lewis has a 2.5 second stop, which they should be doing every single time, this is all a moot point because Lewis comes out 2 seconds ahead of Max, and I don't think Max has the pace to come back on him, honestly, unless, you know, they catch McLaren's and get all bottled up. But I think this would be a completely different race if it wasn't for those two factors there. So, I actually don't put that on Mercedes. I think they actually made a good decision. They just didn't execute well, unfortunately.
Yeah, right decision, bad execution, and that's what led to it. I mean, I thought, I agree with you. I think they would have gone long that was the plan. And then they saw what happened with Max and said, oh, we can just cover off and we're going to be fine. And then the pit stop's out of the way. Did not anticipate the extra time in the pit lane and, you know, bad launch out. And that's what you saw.
Yeah. When I saw Hamilton start on the hards, I thought I had the bonus pick in the bag. Cause I was like, there's no way he's pitting before 34 laps. Like, I was like, I'm nailing it. And then, you know,
not so much. I got it. Yeah.
Yes. So. Yes. To extend your lead on me, I appreciate it.
Yes. A whole 2 points.
Spoiler.
Okay, next up, JC says, winning one race in the last 10 is straight up embarrassing for Mercedes. Pressure has absolutely got into their heads, especially in strategy. I think we're kind of talking about it. I don't think that this race in particular, they had a terrible strategy call. maybe didn't execute well in that pit stop, which led to the disaster. And we've definitely seen some mistakes in recent races. So anyone have anything to add to that?
I will. Not really to add. I appreciate this guy's initials, and I love everything he just said in this comment. So I totally agree.
Is this like your burner account or something?
He sends in his own emails.
If this guy is James's burner account, James has mastered the art of doing a burner account. That's all I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's awesome, JC. Yeah, I agree. I don't think today was a strategy issue. Again, it was an execution issue. But yes, there have been a magnitude of other races in recent history that have definitely been piss poor strategy all around, up and down. So yes, it has been pretty embarrassing. But hey, we've said that all along. You put Mercedes under pressure, they make dumb decisions when they're under pressure. And that has been very true this year again.
Yep. So next up, Taz asks, does the Russian track favor the Red Bulls? If so, do you think we could see Verstappen taking the engine penalty and starting at the back of the grid, given his three grid spot penalty for today's accident anyway? Perhaps he could charge through the grid like we saw with Bottas today. So we talked about that previously. I do think Russia, though, on a whole, probably is going to lean more towards Mercedes. Anybody disagree with that?
No. I mean, this has always been Mercedes's playground.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been Lewis or Valtteri whenever they've gone there.
The only thing that gives me any concern is that Red Bull has been able to run less downforce than Mercedes and be faster than them at a lot of tracks so far. And that's the only thing that worries me is, like, if they can keep up in the straightaways, they certainly will have the advantage through the tight sections. So, you know, especially there in like sector three, where things get really, really tight. I think they, you know, so it may be all to play for, honestly. But yeah, traditionally this has certainly been a Mercedes track.
Yeah. I think it'll be a lot closer than it was this weekend, but I'm still surprised. Like, I thought this might be a Mercedes track. I didn't think they would have the pace that they ultimately did in qualifying, in normal qualifying over the Red Bulls. But a lot of things happened and we ended up with what we got. So anyway, Michelle asks, with Lando higher in the championship, did he earn the chance to swap spots and see if he could pull away and swap back if he doesn't? I will let Andy take this one again.
One of the reasons that I'm a fan of this team is because they've never tried to do that type of stuff. Lando's being higher in the championship is great. I know he asked the question. He got, I think, the right response from the team. You don't take that away from Danny after he had done everything correct the entire weekend. There was no reason to do that. P3 in the drivers would be nice, but it ultimately really doesn't matter to them. I think they were more worried about P3 in the constructors, and that's how they played it.
Yeah, that would have been a travesty if they had them switch. That would have been awful. And there's no money for him finishing in P3. There's just, it's nothing.
Yeah. And they were all way too close for them to effectively make.
Yeah.
Switch them. Like, that just would have been a
disaster. And what the team did is they told Daniel, you need to now pick up your pace. And he did.
If he
didn't, maybe it's a different discussion. But the fact that he did makes it.
Yeah. And I think when Perez got his penalty too, I think that was certainly had to been just a weight off their shoulders. Because he certainly looked like a threat there for a minute as well.
All right. Next up, photo_GT97 says, what are the chances? great typing there. Max takes an engine penalty in Russia with a grid penalty. Again, we kind of talked about that. Yes, we think he will take that penalty. And next up, Eric asks, how many times have teams had sequential driver numbers like Danny 3 and Lando 4. So I can kind of speak to the weird rules, not really that I understand them, in the kind of 70s, 80s era. They had all of the driver numbers were sequential because the teams got numbers in twos. But they were permanent numbers. So like one and two would change with whoever won the championship. So then they'd switch around and the teams would drop out and the new teams would replace them. So like Teal ran with 3 and 4 for a really, really long time. Ferrari ran with 27 and 28 for a long time. And it was just kind of all over the place. So they were sequential. They didn't make sense. I think they did eventually. And Andy can talk about this, switch to a situation that made a lot more sense. But that's the one I know about.
Yeah, I mean, in like the mid-90s, I know when I first started watching, they lined them up by how the teams finished. So if your team had finished in P1 and the constructors, you had and you had the driver's champion, you had positions 1 and 2, so that was your car numbers 1 and 2. It actually led to Lewis Hamilton at one point, I think, being the only driver to have, in sequential years, car number 1, car number 2, car number 3, and car number 4. Before, I think it was 2014 yep. or 2014, where they let the drivers pick each of their individual numbers. So one of the things we haven't seen in a very long time is actually the number 1, and that's because Lewis, you know, has been the defending champion and has chosen not to take it. He has the right to take and run with number 1. He's just chosen not to. So, you know, to him, he's number 44, and that's his right to do.
Okay, and our final fan email is from Matt Polanski, and he says, today's race is called Holy Mac and Cheese Balls. Monza's at it again, giving us a podium that would have screwed someone's guest predictions. This race had everything. Tiny DRS wings, Vettel being bullied, a Bottas to podium, homing missile, and a Fwedgie. A Fwedgie is that thing where one F1 car gives another one a wedgie, built on the back of nobody wanting to give any track position. Danny Rick got a long-awaited win. Please excuse my shoeies make me want to vomit. Oh, please excuse me, shoeies make me want to vomit. Sorry, I can't read. It's too late.
Matt delivering as always. Go check out the Right Sector MotoGP podcast for more fun shenanigans from.
And he Lyson. Had one hell of a race to talk about today too. I mean, Marquez and Bagnaia went going at it in Aragon today. Woo!
Yeah, definitely go check that out. Mm. Fwedgie. I got to remember that one.
Not going to see that incident the same way anymore, Matt.
Nope. That's
what I'm telling you. Okay, so moving on to our weekly award segment. We start off, as always, with the Rubbish Award. I'll go first with this one. My Rubbish Award this week is going to this new stupid pit stop rule because I hate it. And it cost Max Verstappen an 11-second pit stop because of not hitting some stupid okay button. I think it's dumb. I'm going to hate it for a while now. That was like the start of the whole everything that caused all the big incident. So I think it's stupid that they have to press that button. I thought it was fine before. I think if you're going to make a change like that, it should be during the off season. And yeah, it's just dumb. I hate it and it's rubbish. Andy, what do you got?
Yeah, I actually will completely agree with you, James. It makes no sense to take away something that a team like Red Bull had achieved and just because they're good at it. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, why, when something is automatic and it worked, and that's exactly what the report is that the guy did it the way he had always done it, the way he had been trained to do it for the last like 4 years. He just didn't hit the button. Yep. Why are we doing this? Makes no sense.
Yeah. It's tough. John, what do you got?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. I think that makes sense to me. And then I'll give definitely an honorable mention to Mazepin.
I think that goes without being said at this point, but I appreciate bringing it up.
Perhaps we should rename. I mean, we've had some awards that have been based off drivers and teams. Perhaps this should be officially sponsored.
The Mazepin Award.
By the Mazepin family.
They think of it as some sort of a compliment, I guarantee you.
What wins you can get.
We're going to get a cease and desist order tomorrow.
That'd be the least of our worries if we're messing with Russian oligarchs. Deanna, go ahead. What do you got?
I'm going to say, I think I say this every single race. It goes to the FIA. Ooh. Again, the dumb technical directive for the pit stops, some inconsistent stewarding, and just general confusion all the time and things happening hours after the race and yada, 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 etc. I said all of this before.
Fair enough. All right, so now we move into analysis paralysis. I'm going to go last on this one because I can't think of one, so I'm going to steal one of yours. First opportunity goes to John.
For me, it's going to be the Perez overtake, not giving up the position situation.
Oh, wow. Deanna, can you believe that?
Did you just take that from me?
I said it first.
No, you didn't. Why did you say that?
John, why'd your voice get so light there?
I mean, I could play the Price is Right sound effect if you want, but
whoa, 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 whoa.
No.
Wow. I'm sorry, Dan. I should have thrown it to you first. You can.
It's okay. It's gone. The opportunity is gone now.
Well, Andy, do you have something stolen. Different?
Scratches. Well, she does the video editing. So
the only one that I would
none of this might actually make the final cut.
Because I'm not touching that one now. it's going to be for Mercedes for not sticking to their strategy and maybe going on the long, on the hard tire. They probably don't avoid all of that issue if they just stick to that today. I mean, it's ex post facto, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I like talking badly about Mercedes, so I'll join you with that one, Andy. Stupid Mercedes. All right, so dark horse of the day. Deanna, you can go first so John can't steal anything from you.
Nicholas Latifi.
Ooh,
I think even though he didn't get a point, I think he had an excellent day all around.
Good one. Andy?
I'm going to give this to George Russell, Mr. Now I want to be in the points all the time. He's getting used to it. He's going to Mercedes next year because of it. So well done, George.
John?
I'll go a different route here. I'm going to go with Lando Norris.
Very good.
Solid P2.
I'm going to bend the rules a little bit, I think, here. Because typically we don't give this to a top team driver. But me and John wrote the rules. So if I want to change them, I can. My dark horse is Valtteri Bottas because I didn't expect anything out of him today, and he had one hell of a race. So I think he deserves a dark horse. I'm proud of him today. So we'll move on to driver of the day. And Andy, is it going to be not what I think by chance?
Oh, it's nobody other than Daniel Ricciardo. All weekend, driver of the day. First win, and like I said, 9 years. Thank you very much, Daniel, for doing what you do.
Yep. John?
Yeah, in correlation with my dark horse driver of the day, one step ahead, Daniel Ricciardo. Mm-hmm. And McLaren as a whole, honestly.
Yep. Deanna?
It has to be Daniel Ricciardo.
That is right. It has to be Danny Rick this weekend. So excellent, excellent weekend, excellent day for all of McLaren, but especially Danny Ricciardo. So to talk about our predictions... for the race predictions. John, tell me how bad it was for me.
So I'll start with last. So that would be James. Once again, with 0 points. Hasn't been a nice stretch for you recently. No points on the day. Deanna and Andy said was tied for second with 1 point each. Deanna, you had the prop bet. Very nice. Congrats. 31 laps on the hard set tires. And then Andy, you had the fastest race time. So very nice. Then myself, somehow managed to squeak out 3 points despite, I think most of our predictions being thrown out the window. I had fastest quality time, and then I had one sprint podium driver and one of my bonus picks. So 3. So for the season, in last place, we have James, 31 points. Deanna pulling ever so slightly more ahead at 33 points. Andy, 38, and myself with 47.
Doing that Mercedes team game, just, you know, stretching it out. Yep.
All right, so that's it for that. So all we got left now is final thoughts, and for that, I'll throw it to Andy first. What you got?
Oh, my gosh, just amazing day today. You really can't put into words for all of the suffering for the 15-year, which was really thin, for the 18-year, where it got really, really hard to continue to back this team. Thank you for rewarding the faith today. Well done, McLaren F1. Zach Brown, take a bow. You guys did it.
Very good. John, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just after Spa, we've had, you know, it was obviously a major letdown. We've had two phenomenal races since then, both very different in their own realm, but both very exciting, great atmospheres. Even though the Tifosi wasn't able to be out in full force this week. Not quite the same podium celebration we're used to at Monza, but, you know, hopefully that will continue to change. But, yeah, no, I just Monza, thankfully, the race, you know, definitely delivered. So good all around weekend.
Okay. Deanna?
Yeah, it's just I love Monza. We've had three great races in 3 years. Leclerc winning in 19, Gasly last year, and Ricciardo this year. I think that those have all been really, really great. And, yeah, I had a great time.
Good point. Yeah, I mean, I think the one knock against McLaren this weekend wasn't in Formula One. Unfortunately, it was in IndyCar. Our boy Pedal Ward couldn't get it done today, even after some luck early on. It sounds like he got some bad luck later in the race. So we do have next week off from Formula One, but I believe there was an IndyCar race, so they were going to finish with a flurry here. So I'm sure we'll be all watching that. pulling for our boy Pedo and the McLaren IndyCar team. So that should be exciting to fill the void before the Russian Grand Prix, which Deanna's got me thinking is going to be exciting now. So if it isn't, I'm going to blame you for that.
This is the year I said if the French Grand Prix could be good, Russia might be good. True. Might actually have Russia be good.
It's like we got multiple Nostradamus types on this podcast now. So hopefully the good times keep on rolling. So only other note is if anybody listening out there is like good with Photoshop and memes and things, please hit me up. I've got a really good meme cooking in my head, but I don't have the mental capacity to create that. So maybe Deanna can, because she's looking at me like I'm an idiot for even asking out loud right now. But
I'm just scared to ask.
She always looks at me like that, so it's not a big deal. But I think that's all we got for tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Every one of those supporters means so much to us, and they've been rolling in lately. So please keep the good times rolling. And Andy, do your thing.
As always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast, or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.